the intro. Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to... Coffee with Cashy. I'm your host, Dr. Trevor Cashy. In this lesson, we continue on with our workshop. Overcome the frustrations of achieving an active lifestyle so that you can use your body on purpose and with purpose. By Dr. Trevor Cashy, part 3. The purpose of this workshop is to apply the SRO model, the stimulus response outcome model, to overcome the permission we give ourselves to be lazy when it comes to using our bodies on purpose and with purpose. So this part of the workshop is focused on fixing all that garbage BS we learned about in the last section, okay, the previous section, all those belief systems that we hold around using our bodies on purpose and with purpose, and focusing more on the cognitive aspect, that they're thinking stuff in the old noodle. Since now you know the sorts of beliefs that exist, specifically the distorted thoughts and the distorted thoughts that arise from the distorted beliefs, okay, you're primed to take the next step, to shred them up. Okay, you know the sorts of beliefs that exist and the distorted thoughts that arise from them, and you're primed to take the next step and shred them up. SRO employs a few cognitive, or again, thinky-thingy related approaches to overcoming the aversion to physical activity and the appraisal of how frustrating it is, and the attraction toward couch surfing, right? Going away from moving around and toward the couch, as it were. In principle, this is about three different things. It is about detecting your BS when it presents itself, belief systems, discriminating between what's rational, making it easier to do smart stuff, and what's distorted, rigid, and absolute, making it easier to give yourself permission to do that there dumb stuff. And debating the validity of this stuff, proving that there is some distorted and garbage BS in there and replacing it with some new, much more rational or BS to make it harder to do dumb stuff and easier to do smart stuff. This is conveniently lumped into one simple process you can just call disputation. Yes, you are filing a dispute with yourself. It works much better when you file a dispute with yourself than it does when you file a dispute with PayPal. Okay? Works much better. So, let's go about disputing this distorted BS. We have S, stimulus. S, stimulus. R, response. O, outcome. Tabitha, our favorite, she was taught how, and she learned how to dispute or argue with herself and win. When she encountered a frustrating stimulus, like moving around and stuff, activity, physical activity specifically, and she would respond by being physically active and have a constructive outcome with less body fatness, less sleep problems, less pain, less emotional gunk, and less couch surfing. Yes, Tabitha started doing this, is very good at it. And even though it started out hard, and it's still hard sometimes, that's different, as Tabitha would say, than being too hard. So hard that she can't stand it and just gets overwhelmed at the prospect of moving around. Okay? That's right. Tabitha realized, yeah, it's just a pain in the ass and that's okay. That's the way she goes. And here's the kicker. The intellectual and philosophical insight into how this works. You got a taste of it before. When Tabitha first started disputing the BS that she told herself, when she started disputing her belief systems, she originally thought that it was because being active, okay, that being active was the frustrating stimulus, and that using her body was so difficult and such a pain in the ass that she avoided it as her response, as her cognitive behavioral response. And this only strengthened her convictions that being active was a pain in the ass, that stimulus. And as a result, she ended up, as the outcome, okay, it only ended up strengthening her convictions. It only ended up strengthening her convictions that avoiding being physically active, avoiding moving around, was a pain in the ass. So the outcome here was that by avoiding it, she actually helped reinforce and strengthen that being active was a problem. See how that works? Became more sensitive to it, right? She'd go, man, I hate exercise. I hate sports. All this stupid healthy lifestyle crap. I can't stand it, Dr. Cashy. What's going on? Okay. Indeed, this sort of thinking does play a small role, right? Assessing it or appraising it as a frustrating stimulus. The big factor is where that frustration intolerance comes from. Because it's obvious she's appraising it as a frustrating event, as a frustrating stimulus. So big of a frustrating stimulus that she has become intolerant of it. Okay. How do we know this? Well, let's loop back to the principle of variable outcomes. There are plenty of people that use their bodies on purpose and with purpose that still think it sucks, right? They still do it. There's plenty of people that use their bodies on purpose with purpose and they think it sucks. They still do it. Okay. Does that mean Tabitha's assessment of physical activity as an annoying hassle the sole reason she avoids it? No. In fact, that's a tiny reason. In fact, again, in the space between stimulus and response, in that space between S and R, where Tabitha is holding that underlying BS, her belief system about physical activity, that's where she gives herself permission to turn that relatively modest annoyance, that small hassle, into a demand, into a command to reject it, to go away from hassles instead of welcoming it towards benefits. So Tabitha started saying out loud in so many colorful words, exercise is horrible, it hurts, and I suck at it, and I should not have to do this. There must be a way without it, or else I can't stand it, right? Obviously, variations on this theme. When you boil it down, Tabitha agreed this is the sort of language she was using, that exercise is horrible, it hurts, and it sucks at it, and because exercise is horrible and it hurts and I suck at it, that I shouldn't have to do it, and that there must be another way around it, or else I just can't stand it, okay? And this transitioned, by disputation, mind you, this transitioned into moving my body around is a hassle and it can be annoying, but that's the way she goes, and I do feel better when I do it besides. Okay, so you see, the SRO model is meant to direct Tabitha right to the heart of the matter, that space between stimulus and response. In other words, when Tabitha started to get worked up, to start wallowing in her BS, she learned to STFU. She learned to STFU, okay? That once she was stimulated, once she encountered a frustrating stimulus and started to get worked up, she started to audit her thinking, her feeling, and her urging. Okay? The first step for Tabitha and many other private clients is to do a cost analysis. Now, a lot of people have heard of a cost-benefit analysis. This is just a straight-up cost analysis. Okay? As in, what is the cost for sitting on my ass all the time? Okay, Tabitha wrote a list of what is the cost for sitting on my ass all the time. Now, this at first is about looking for your shoulds and looking for your musts, things of that nature, okay? So why should I be exempt? Why should I be exempt and still get everything I want? Where's the logic behind that? Does that make any sense? What makes this so horrible? What makes being active so horrible? What actually makes moving around more than bad? More than bad. And where's the evidence here? Where's the evidence? Where's the proof that I can't stand it? Where's the proof? Is it a law written somewhere by a higher power in the furthest reaches of the universe just for me? If Tabitha exerts any energy, her head will explode and burst into unicorn poop and confetti, and she'll only hear slurping noises for the rest of eternity. Now, when Tabitha started getting worked up about exercising or being physically active or playing sports or doing anything, moving herself around, which admittedly was hard for her to do, right? You're familiar with the sort of conditions that she has and had. She would whip these out. She'd whip these out and she asked herself these three questions. And she answered them seriously, right? Why should I be exempt and still get what I want? What makes being active so horrible? Where's the evidence? Where's the proof that I can't stand it? She answered them seriously. She actually carried an index card with her that had all three questions on them. Dr. Cashy likes index cards. Often she would joke that she'd think or hear Dr. Kashi asking these questions to her, and that she would respond out loud to them as if she were talking to me, okay? And it would allow her to hear out loud how much conviction she really held. Because it's easy to know intellectually how you should answer these questions. And when you actually hear yourself answer them, and when Tabitha heard herself answer them, she could tell, like, okay, I'm just paying Dr. Kashi some lip service here. I heard myself and that sounded weak, right? If you told it to your mama and your mama believed you, if your best friend, the person who knows you best in the world, totally believes what you're saying, that's when it starts going from intellectual understanding to philosophical integration. Intellectual understanding transitioning to philosophical integration. Okay, hopefully that makes sense. So here's some of the answers that she recorded for herself doing an experiment we held on this. So she would ask herself, should I really be exempt from this and still get everything I want? And she would say, no, that's silly. What kind of sense does that make? I'm human. They're human. We're all human. Moving around is a part of being human. That's the way she goes. The next question was, what makes this so horrible? What makes it so horrible? Horrible? Instilling horror? What is this, a haunted house? Terrible? Is it terrible? Terrifying? What is moving around an act of terrorism now on myself? This is all absurd. Yes, I'd rather do something else, and that's okay. That's the way she goes. And last, where is the evidence? Where is the proof that I really can't stand it? Well, Tabitha says, if I really couldn't stand it, then I'd be dead. So I guess I can stand it. And because I find it annoying right now, I turn it into some sort of life-threatening disaster. I disaster-fy. Besides, if I really do die, then I won't have to stand it anymore. Tabitha's spicy, okay? The proof that I can't stand it amounts to exactly zero. As Tabitha did this, she got better and better at it. Really good, in fact. What used to take her a few minutes multiple times a day, per day, every day, okay, she really despised moving around at all. Can you blame her with her conditions, right? Even though she's made tremendous progress, obviously. She was able to shred up that old distorted BS and replace it with new, smarter, more better, more rational BS. That new BS, kicking that old BS right out the window. By becoming her sort of own personal scientist, she made it easier and easier and easier for her to give herself some extra oomph if she felt she needed it. Within a few weeks, she learned to actually enjoy using her body on purpose and with purpose. And also within that time period, much earlier in fact, she started seeing the benefits of using her body more, which was only encouraging for her. So as a pro tip, this sort of scientifical and rational disputation process works just the same if a person feels embarrassed to move their bodies, or feel forced by others or themselves or by others to perform to a specific standard. When there's movement, when there's activity, okay, to perform as perfectly in a specific way. And this works just as well for having swung the complete other direction. Just kind of like Tabitha did, where she continuously beat the crap out of herself by setting equally ridiculous demands. So she went from demanding, like, I shouldn't have to do this, and swung all the way to, now I have to do this all the time or else. Just complete 180. To go from never ever exercising at all and shouldn't have to do it to becoming the superest duperest exerciser that ever lived in the history of the universe, or else. Then, whenever she missed a training session or skipped out on a walk or even stopped a little bit short because she was feeling icky, she'd beat the hell out of herself, and guess how much that encouraged her to keep on keeping on, So she'd ask herself with a similar format, why must I be a perfect super duper exerciser? Yeah, just like that. That was actually her question, by the way, because she realized how silly she would act. It's only easy to see how silly she was acting afterward, though. So when she had the card and pulled it out, that was the question, okay? What makes it so damn awful if I make a little mistake? So awful that I give myself permission to give up? Which is super duper helpful, right? It works really good if you're trying to be the world's most perfect exerciser in the history of the universe. And where is the law in the universe proving that I can't stand it when I goof? That the world is going to end and my head will explode into unicorn poop and rainbows and I'll hear slurping noises until the end of eternity. So yes, this is just as effective for when for when spicy, black and white, thinking, neurotically acting people like Tabitha inevitably swing the exact opposite direction from extreme avoidance to extreme adherence. The same thing ends up happening. They try and treat their illness with the same stuff that caused it. Now, does it really make any sense for me to continuously reject this? Right? Just another way of saying these questions. Does it really make any sense for me to continuously reject this, like, at all? What makes it that freaking terrible? And is there proof that this must keep happening in this specific way? Tabitha really took this disputation process seriously and did it vigorously and strongly and violently. Violently. And when she did, her distorted BS, it weakened fast. And according to our notes here, pulling those up here, according to our notes, about 10 days. And instead, she started to strengthen her grip on reality, strengthen her grip on the better, more rational BS, the belief systems, making it harder to do dumb stuff and easier to do smart stuff. It became clear to Tabitha as her conviction built around this BS that she told herself, her belief systems really were BS. At first, it was easy to see intellectually. She could tell, right, that when she was saying it out loud, wrote it down, and looked back on herself, that she was acting silly and acting foolish and thinking silly and thinking foolish things. And it was easy for her to see that. She has high levels of intelligence. And Tabitha realized, though, it's a different, more important thing, however, to take that intellectual understanding and integrate it on a philosophical level, to modify her value system, to more than just modify the way she acted, but to actually change the way that she lived. So that Tabitha would do more than feel better, she would get better and stay better. And she did, right? More than 120 pounds down, beyond overcoming her childhood abuse, off all her meds and binge eating and chronic stress and diabetes and back pain and nerve pain and migraines, morbid obesity. Wow, she overcame a lot of stuff. She realized that even though lots of stuff was a pain in the ass for her, and given her laundry list of conditions and neuroticisms, right? Arguably a bigger pain in the ass for her than for most people. And did Tabitha think that should exempt her from having to do any of these things? Yes, she did. She did. And that made it easier for her to exempt herself and perpetuate and potentiate, make her problems stay around and get worse, right? Until she used the SRO model to dispute it rationally, to dispute it. Does this make sense? Is it really that terrible? Where's the evidence? No, it doesn't make sense. It's silly. It's actually okay. It might be a pain in the ass, but it's okay. And is there any evidence? No. No. There is evidence that when I push through, I do get better and feel better, though. Feel better and get better, right? Okay? So that she could still develop her frustration tolerance. She could still overcome and still be productive and joy-filled, a joy-filled human, and still achieve all she wants to achieve. Hot dang! That's all she wrote today. I'll see you soon for the next session, where we transition from the cognitive approaches of overcoming the frustrations to of being active, right, to the more emotive approaches, right, which focus a little more on feelings, which in parentheses is something that encompass sensations and emotions. Okay, so thank you so much for learning. Stay rational. Until next time. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Kashi? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, and see you next week. Dr. Kashi is out.